Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 14, 2020. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now, folks, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube, some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. It's not free. On another note, let's thank our listener base. It's worldwide in places like Perth, Australia, Paris, France, Poland, and of course cities in the good old United States such as Chicago, Illinois, Atlanta, Georgia, and Arlington, Texas. Yes, Wichita, Kansas, you beat Newark, New Jersey this week, and so you're the largest group of listeners to our programs, at least when they go to podcast later tonight. When we're on national radio like this, we have no idea how many people is listening. I do know that it is a lot. Anyway, follow us and share us on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest and one of our favorites. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray regular night goes according to your will, not our will, Father, and give everyone after ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight we got Pastor Carl Gallitz back on with us, of course. He tries to come on with us about once a month. Anyway, he's a best-selling author. He's senior pastor since 1987. Talk radio host that's heard nationally and internationally. He's on TV and radio. He's a TV and radio guest commentator. Former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. He's the founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl has written 10 books now. The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah, Gods of the Final Kingdom, and his newest book is called Masquerade, which really fits into everything that's going on right now. So welcome, Pastor Carl. You're there with me.
I'm here, Pastor Dan. It's so good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, amen. I always look forward to getting the sane guy into the mix every once in a while. I'm calling you sane. How about that?
Well, I appreciate that. You and maybe three other people do that, so thank you.
Maybe three. Yeah, I haven't anybody called me that yet. I haven't been insulted yet. Anyway,
yeah.
But, you know, this world, right now, everything is insane. Nothing seems to be right. I really do believe that it's opened up. I believe we're just stepping off into, I know we're in the end times, but it's like we stepped off into a complete another period, if you will. I don't know exactly how to explain it. Because, you know, the last few weeks since all this happened, I guess it's been a couple of months now, you know, I've really been doing a lot of prayer and everything, more so than normal in the sense that about what's going on. And it's just, everything's insane. Everything's up in the air. And all of these things, here's something else I'm contending with that we're going to have a lot to talk about today, but is that all these people that there's a huge number of people that are off work, right? Okay. A lot of these people have now became, experts in profits, and all kinds of garbage is being pushed forward, and people are taking it hook, line, and sinker that can be very, very damaging. Did you get that article I sent you through your wife?
I did. I surely did. And I heard some rumbling about it, but I appreciate the article, and I back-checked some of the original sources as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I expected that you would. And here's my point with it. Number one, I'm a researcher, so I researched the article. I looked to the original articles and everything. There's not one iota in that says that there's going to be a mandatory vaccine. It's just getting prepared in order to be able to give as many that need it. But here's the point.
I agree. That was exactly what I saw, too. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, and I did a whole program on this because it leads up to this point, and I need you to address this for me. Okay, coming up to it. So out of that, he's making it sound like Donald Trump's going to do a forced vaccine, and he's going to use the military to do it, and it's going to be trackable and all these things. Well, but they blow that up on the internet to say, well, okay, that's the mark of the beast, right? And so I went through the program last time trying to explain to the people that the mark, when it comes, it has to be something that is voluntary, isn't it? Back to you.
Yeah, Pastor Dan, there are different interpretations, but yes, I agree. It appears, and the reason there are different interpretations is because we're reading Revelation 13 in an English translation, translated
right.
From the Greek, but the Greek text was written by Hebrew-minded people like John. He was a Jew, and he grew up on the Old Testament scriptures. And, of course, then he had the vision. He went from one dimension to another on the island of Patmos, caught up into the throne room of God, and was shown these things and told these things. So he also could connect those things back to the Old Testament with a Hebrew mindset. So the point I'm making is it's so easy for us to be 2,000 years removed from when John received that text. Speaking a language that wasn't even alive when John received that text, we're speaking English, reading an English translation of the Greek from a Hebrew mindset, and then saying, oh yeah, I've got this figured out, I know exactly what this means. When, as a matter of fact, so much of prophecy that deals with the very last days is written, I don't even have the words to describe this, surely somebody has done it more eloquently than what I'm getting ready to say. And I've written to this in my books, but I can't remember that I did it very eloquently. So let me just stumble around here and say what I'm trying to say. And that is that the prophecies of the end times, particularly the book of Revelation, inspired by the Holy Spirit to be written this way. So it's done on purpose. But they're written in almost symbolic or metaphorical language. Now, please hear me. I am not saying that it's just a big metaphor. I'm saying metaphorical language, so that when you hear about a beast with 10 horns coming up out of
right.
the sea, well, that's not a literal beast that with 10 horns and 7 heads. It's a metaphor for an empire and for nations and a conglomeration, perhaps, or a union like the European Union or something like that, or United Nations or something like that. I mean, it's a metaphor. Well, we get that when it speaks about the pit being opened in this fifth trumpet seal and about, things that looked like a locust. Sounded like the thundering of chariots, had the face like a man. Well, that word like is a dead giveaway, that it's not a locust that has a face like a man. And,
right.
you know, these are just examples off the top of my head. I may be getting a few descriptions wrong,
yeah.
So please forgive me, folks. But the point I'm making is, but they were written so that when John gave them to the early church, that that the book of Revelation meant something to those people then. It kept the church motivated and focused, and it kept the church, even in the first century, understanding that this world is going to wrap down. It's going to wind down, and it's going to become the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and Satan will be defeated. The Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, the son of perdition, the abomination that causes desolation, whatever name you want to give him from the Bible, he also will be defeated and destroyed by the returning Jesus Christ. So that's the message of it. Now, the reason it's written the way it is, because look, brother, we now know it's been 2,000 years since it was written. Can you imagine if John had given the book to the church in the first century, and then the second century and the third century that was undergoing emperor worship and being thrown to the lions? And can you imagine if John had said, look, I was called at the throne room of God. Here's the bottom line. The Lord's not going to return for another 2,040 years. Okay. Right. Well, I mean, I just put it 20 years ahead of our day. But I'm just saying, I don't set dates. I'm just using this as an example. So can you imagine? Well, first of all, nobody would have ever read and studied the book of Revelation then. Secondly, they would have been terribly discouraged, especially when their children and grandchildren were being thrown to the lions in the 200s and the 300s A.D. Thirdly, they probably would have said to John, well, that's awfully convenient for you. You give us this, and you tell us that it won't happen for 2,000 more years. Well, you won't be here, so you can't account for it. So the point is, God knew all of that, of course. The Holy Spirit knew that. And so when he gave him these things, there's a message there. It's multi-layered. The Word of God is multi-dimensional, brother. You know that. It's living and active. It means something to every generation. Every generation can see something of themselves in it. They can get a message to the principles and the precepts. They can apply those messages to their lives. They can apply them to their cultures. They can apply them to their ministries. However, all end time prophecy also is written so that when it comes to the moment that the clock ticks to that second when it's fulfilled, when that happens, the generation that is living when that happens will say, oh my gosh, here it is. This is it. An example, the crucifixion and the resurrection. You see, that was written in Psalm 1, that was written in Psalm 22, 1,000 years before it happened. Behold, they have pierced my hands and my feet. They gamble for my clothing under my feet. They say, he saved others. Let him save himself. I am surrounded by enemies, by dogs, by the lions of Bashan. On and on and on. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. I thirst. My bones are all out of joint. I can see them. They stare at me. Well, good gosh, he's describing the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Yet, for 1,000 years, people saw something of themselves in that. They saw something of their trials and tribulations in that. They saw something, they heard something about the promises of God's ultimate deliverance, of God's final kingdom. By the way, the end of times is prophesied in Psalm 22 as well. So yeah. All of that is there, but when the generation came, like Peter and Paul and those guys, what did Peter write in 2 Peter? He said, now we have the words of the prophets made more certain. Now we get it. Why? Because we are eyewitnesses of his glory. We are eyewitnesses of his majesty. We were there when he was crucified. We were there when they were gambling for his clothing. We were there when he rose from the grave. We were there when he ascended into heaven. We were there when the Holy Spirit was given to the church. So, in the same way Revelation works, that is, we're getting very, very, very close to the fulfillment of that, brother. I mean, again, I don't set dates, but if you just take this little microcosm of what we're still in and what we've been going through, we are the first generation since the birth of the church wherein, and I've said this before, but I want to say it again to your audience, wherein on Resurrection Sunday, just a few weeks ago, which is the celebration of Satan's defeat and Jesus' triumph, on the first time in 2,020 years, that the churches around the world were closed and people couldn't get to them, many places under penalty of law.
Yeah.
Brother, I'm telling you, when you consider that the Bible is clear, this world system right now belongs to Satan. He is the God of this age, the Bible says. He is the prince of the power of the air, the Bible says. He is the prince of this world, Jesus called him. But he won't always be, but he is. And so even though the virus is real, the deaths are real, you know, the medical scientific aspects of it, all of that's real, there's a lot of fakery around it and false news, but it's real. Even though all of that, and even though scientists and medical doctors are working in the midst of it, and governments and health organizations, the bottom line is the Bible's clear. Our battle is not against that virus. Our battle is against the powers of the dark, unseen realm where Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And so what we're watching are prophetic happenings the first time. See, we must be getting close, brother. Here's why. Because Revelation 12:12 and 12:12 and 13 and 14, paraphrased, it ends by saying, "And woe unto you, earth, because Satan has been thrown down to you. He is filled with rage, and he knows his time is short." And then Revelation 12 ends, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it right in front of me, but go read it, you'll see it. It ends by saying, "And then he, Satan, went off to make war against those who hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ." That's the church!
Yeah.
Satan will make war against the church in the last days because he knows his time is getting short. Well, brother, if in 2,000 years we're the first generation to have the day that celebrates his defeat taken from us by Satan himself all over the world, we must be getting close. So we're looking at a microcosm of prophecy being fulfilled. We may be the generation that, like Peter and his generation, said, "Oh my gosh, we've seen it all now. Now we have the words of the prophets made more certain. We saw him crucified. We saw him resurrected. We saw him ascend. We saw the church born by the Holy Spirit." Okay, we have seen the return of Israel. We have seen the return of Jerusalem as the capital. We are watching the whole world communicating together at once. We are watching governments shut the churches down and Christians running for the hills and hiding. This has never happened in the history of the planet. And when I look at Revelation 12:12 saying that Satan is filled with rage because he knows his time is short, I think he knows something we don't know about this, brother.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, I got a lot. And for the record, I did read that thing, What If?
Yeah.
Which that opens up a lot in really what you're saying and what's going on. Here's a point. I'll make it quick. We only got about 3 or 4 minutes before break. Here's a point. You know, going back to the mark of the beast thing, that is my point, and it's a real point, is trying to get people to understand one thing that. Let's go with this. Carl, do you believe that if you take the mark of the beast, if it is a literal mark or whatever, it could be a lot of things, but by taking it, do you believe that you would be damned?
Well, the Bible makes it clear that, okay, let me begin the answer like this. Listen, I am well aware that there are at least 4 major schools of thought about taking the mark and whether we will be here or not for it. Okay? There's
right.
The pre-trib rapture. There's the mid-trib rapture. There's the post-trib rapture. There's the pre-wrath rapture. And then there are those that say there's not even going to be a rapture. And then there are, I mean, on and on and on it goes. So I'm going to say, if the church is still here, when the marking system that the Bible's talking about is put into effect, I believe please forgive me for being naive here, but I believe with all my heart, just like when Peter and the disciples experienced the resurrected Christ. See, until Jesus came out of that grave, they still didn't know what to think. When the women went to the grave and came back and told Peter and John didn't believe them. They had to go see it for themselves. But once they saw it, and once they met the resurrected Christ, then they knew. And then they were willing to lay down their lives. And by the way, they all did. So
yeah.
I think we're going to be like that if we're still here. when that marking system of Revelation 13 comes, and I'm going to answer some more specifics about what I think that is, but then we will know. We will know, brother, just like Peter and those guys knew that the resurrection meant Jesus was the Messiah. Now, you got to remember, most of the world in that day, which was basically the Roman Empire and some of the surrounding outlying territories and areas, but the world didn't know. The world didn't believe. Even though Jesus had risen and ascended and was for 40 days on the earth and had appeared to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, Paul said over 500 at one time in one place for one meeting, but the rest of the world didn't know. They didn't care. It was just like the days of Noah. They went on eating and drinking and giving them marriage. They didn't know. Brother, the same thing is going to happen with this. And so if we're here, we will know what it is. It will finally become apparent to us. And when we start telling people, please, don't you understand, we will be mocked, we will be excoriated, we will be persecuted. I mean, if we're here, I can see that in Revelation 13, because it says this calls for the patient endurance of the saint,
right,
for understanding. The word saint means separated one. Well, I've got news for folks. Nobody is separated unto God unless you're under the blood of Jesus. So,
right.
So anyway, we probably have run out of time. I'm so sorry, but I was just going to say that, yes, brother, I think we'll know. And yes, I think it's something that we will have to, people will have to present themselves to it, just be tricked, a Christian, a born-again believer, and going to be tricked by it. You know, Jesus said something about being deceived. Even the elect could be deceived if that were possible. If he was talking about that, then I think there's a proof of it. And the mark appears to be some kind of mark that gives absolute allegiance, loyalty, and worship to the beast. I don't think it's going to be a vaccine.
I'm going to interrupt you, and I don't think it's a vaccine either. And here's a point. We'll talk about it when we get back briefly. And this all really ties into your masquerade book. It really, really does. People need to know, because this is all part of it. All these false deceptions and things, they're coming from Satan the devil. And yeah, okay. Anyway, tell them where they can find you. We got to go to break. We'll talk when we get back.
Yeah, just carlgallops.com. Carlgallops.com. Thanks, brother.
Folks, we'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Only but for a moment, when measured on God's time, we'll be seated together at the table of the Lord to dine. Save me a place beside you till my journey on earth is done. And you'll be the second one that I'll see. But first I want to see God's Son. Just a moment and I'll be there. But in the meantime, God's love I'll share. Sing to you.
At the time of creation, God ended his work after 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. At that time, he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, made it holy. The fourth commandment, written in stone by the finger of God, states that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord and instructs us to rest on that day. The only honest conclusion that can be drawn is that Sunday, the first day of the week, cannot possibly be the Sabbath. Could the days of the week have been changed over time? Is the time from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown really the seventh day? A careful study of chronology reveals that even though calendar changes have occurred, the order of the days of the week have stayed the same. The Julian calendar, originating in 46 BC, was replaced with the Gregorian calendar in 1582. What took place is that 10 days were taken from the number of the days in the month, not the number of the days in the week. Friday, October 5th, became Friday, October 15th. Calendar changes did not alter the days of the week or the order of the days. One must also remember that it is only necessary to check the calendars back to the time of Christ. He certainly knew which day the Sabbath was, for it was Jesus who created all things and instituted the observance of the Sabbath day. Yes, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts.
For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Science Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Are you still with me, Carl?
I am, brother.
I've got this terrible, terrible habit. During break time, I'll turn it down so if I fumble around and everything, I don't make noise. So guess what? I turned it down again. So when I got back, I started talking, and I looked down, and I went, wonder why Carl ain't answering me. And I went, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
anyway, live radio, God love it. I'm getting old, I guess.
It was you, not me, brother. I'm just glad it was you.
Yeah, amen. But, hey, I'll cut out that blank spot before I put it in podcast. But to all those folks that are listening out there live, they got it. Anyway, Carl.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to... I didn't even think about the rapture when I asked you the question about the mark, and there's that. Yeah, we could maybe not be here, we could maybe be partly here, I get all that. I believe that we're gonna see some trouble. I have different views on it, but I wasn't trying to get into the rapture part. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know. And listen, you know me, brother. I don't care. I mean, I don't mind talking about it. And I know how to be, you and I know how to be gracious to people because there are different views. And, you know, and so, no, you ask me anything you want. Talk about anything you want, brother. You know that.
Okay. All right. Well, so I want to kind of finish up or follow up on this. And it takes us to everything, actually. Okay. So at the very end of it, you know, I believe if we're here, you know, the mark of the beast, we would know it. It couldn't be, I don't believe it could be, something that snuck upon us that, you know, it would be an allegiance to the Antichrist and therefore it would deny Messiah and the Holy Spirit. Because the mark of the beast, from my indication and reading in Revelation for many years and all the Bible, is that, it has to be something. If you take it, you're going to go to the lake of fire, basically. You know what I'm saying? To prove it to people, my point that I've been telling them is that, and I want you to check this. You think I'm wrong? I want you to tell me. I point back to Matthew chapter 12, where he talks about where Yeshua gets into the thing with the Pharisees, and they accuse him of doing his miracles by the spirit of Beelzebub, you know, basically Satan. And so that they accuse the spirit of the Most High being coming from the spirit of the Most Low, like you say in your book Masquerade, talking about the serpent, Satan the devil, crawling on his belly, the lowest of the low. That's a metaphor. The serpent's metaphorical, and I'll let you get into that.
Yep.
It's metaphorical. So what he's pointing to, so he's therefore saying that this is the only unforgivable sin. So then, to me, the mark of the beast, that's clear. It has to be something that denies the Holy Spirit and blasphemes the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying?
Let me just boost up what you're saying, and that is, listen, Revelation 13 and 14, they're very clear that the judgment for those who have the mark of the beast is eternal separation from God. So look, Ephesians 1 says when we're born again, we are marked. We are sealed and marked. Some translations say sealed, some say marked, some say both, by the Holy Spirit of God. We are marked by the Holy Spirit of God. And I am convinced that the demonic realm can see that mark. I think it has something to do with the Shekinah glory. It has something to do with the spiritual aspect of who we are. That's just my speculation. The Bible doesn't say that directly. But the point being, the Antichrist mark, it's the other, it's the mark of Satan. It's the number of his name somehow. And again, the generation, when it comes about, they will know it. And it says it'll be on the forehand. On the back of the hand and of the right hand and the forehead. Well, you know, is that literal? It could be. It could be, or that could be metaphorical as well. For being the hand represents our whole, you know, ability to make a livelihood and to work. The forehead represents our thought life and our head and our soul and our mind. So there are many, many scholars who believe that that is metaphorical. I don't know. It sounds to me like it's pretty literal, but what I'm trying to say is God is not going to pull a trick on his children. He is not going to send us to hell because something was forced upon us or we were tricked into taking a vaccine that had a chip and that was the mark and we said, oh my gosh, well, it's over with now. You took the vaccine. So, no, wait a minute. I'm still worshiping Jesus Christ. I'm not worshiping the government or the Antichrist. You mean I got to go to hell because I took a vaccine? See, I don't think it's that stupid or silly or that simple. I think it's going to be something that has to do directly with allegiance and worship of the beast system and the man that's over it, the son of perdition. And we will know. Christians, if we are here, we will know. And we will not take the mark, and we will be persecuted because of it.
Yeah, amen. That's what I was trying to get out of you, actually. And here's the point, because part of the reason that it upsets me so much, because now, like with this, when we started off the program, I talked about them trying to push the thing about being forced vaccination and all those things, which, by the way, again, in none of the paperwork does it say anything about forced. He's getting, you know, but the point is this. We have a hard enough time getting some evangelicals to vote, right? Well, if the evangelicals out there think that our President Trump is going to use the military and force people into this and it's maybe going to be the mark of the beast, then that could cause him to actually lose the election. And then if the Democrats get in, we can see from all the shutdowns and the shutting of the churches and all those things what they're about. Then those things will be mandatory with everything. So this does damage by buying into this. Back to you.
Yes. No, I agree. I agree it does. And that's why I was saying, man, we're living in such prophetic times. Brother,
wow.
I've been preaching and teaching, and I've been on your show for years, and I've said over and over, I think since the very first time I came on your show, we are living in the most prophetic times since the first coming of Jesus Christ. And now, if people can't understand it now, I mean, Israel's back. Jerusalem's back. Technology's going crazy. Evil. Genetic editing. Borders are collapsing. The Middle East is on fire. Look what's happening in United States politics. Look what's happening in Israeli politics. Islam is just on the rise, trying to take the world over. I mean, I could go on and on, but look what we've just gone through, brother. Overnight,
yeah.
The world changed, and overnight, this spirit of Antichrist swept the world, where governments were telling citizens, go to your homes. If you come out, we'll arrest you. Or if you come out, you can lose your job. If you come out, you can lose your business. Shut your churches, or we'll arrest you, or we'll fine you, or we will take the church away from you. And people did. I mean, I've never seen so many people so afraid to die that they just quit living. I mean, I mean, it's unbelievable, brother. And there's never been a generation on the face of the earth that has seen the whole planet overnight bow down to the masters of the universe. Now, please hear me. I'm going to balance that by saying there were some things that needed to be done early on, and we should have followed those things. I mean, listen, I would have been willing to close my church for a couple of weeks.
You didn't, though, did you? You stayed open.
Well, we did. And the reason was, brother, because in our region, we lived in a very, very low percentage of death and infection. I mean, we were blessed. Plus, the governor passed no law. In fact, he said we were considered essential services. Churches could stay open. He said pastors were considered essential infrastructure personnel, and that we had the ability to move freely among the people that we were ministering to. So we were just blessed. I did not close the church. Now, we scaled back. We took all kind of safety measures, but we kept going. And
right.
Not a single one of us had an infection. Not a single person among us died. None of our family members did. Nothing.
Amen.
We just kept going forward, and the Lord blessed. And we kept ministering to people while most of the churches around us were shut voluntarily. And I'm not judging the pastors. That's
right.
Their decision. But I'm saying this has never happened in history, brother. Never, where the whole globe overnight said, shut everything down, everybody run to the hills and hide. And I'm telling you, that's prophetic. I mean, it is showing
absolutely
us how it's going to happen.
Listen, and, you know, you wrote this, and this ties into this all ties in together. You wrote this thing, What If? And, you know, that's incredible in the sense that, yes, instantly, all the churches, we woke up in a, you know, everything woke up, and we woke up in a completely different world, as you say. But now, I mean, out looking, and that's what the Father showed me, and it was really profound. I went for a couple of days, and I was just, you know, profoundly amazed, because it was like the mask was ripped off of all of these evil things, and these people, these controlling people, whether it was the governors or different people, and the people so intent, one of the major factors of these all people was stopping the Christians from preaching, even going to a parking lot, or not parking lot, where they drive in and arresting people. It was a move against the church and Christianity, and it's still going on. And people need to know what they're up against, and they don't. Most people don't understand the devil, or they're easily fooled by people who say, well, that wasn't even the devil in the Garden of Eden. They don't even know where the Garden of Eden is, let alone that the serpent was indeed the devil. The lowest of the low. Anyway, how is this book Masquerade doing anyway? I mean, in all this, are people even reading? I mean,
Yeah, well, the publisher says it's doing great, and, you know, I don't obsess over, Amazon rankings and sales. The publisher that I'm – and it's doing great on Amazon. I mean, you can kind of look at that and see, but the publisher – that I'm with, Defender Publishing, they have their own television program. They've done a lot of shows. They sell thousands of books through there. They also market them through other big ministries. Those books go in secular bookstores,
right,
mom and pop stores. They go to the big markets like Amazon and Books A Million and Barnes & Noble. So they're all over the place. So I have no way of knowing until I get all the numbers from my publisher. Right. I think I get them like once or twice a year. But the bottom line is, yes, we're getting tons of feedback from around the world, people that are reading it, and they're saying, oh, my gosh, did you have any idea this book was so prophetic when you wrote it? Because, see, when I was writing it, COVID-19 was never heard of by anyone.
Right.
But it fits. You need
it fits. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you're right. It fits. It fits. I mean, it's like the Holy Spirit was leading me. It's almost like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Dynamite book. You address so many different things in it and, you know, things that people need to know. Like, you know, you talk about Satan worship and the sorcerers, like, well, Hollywood. Now these people that used to be, you know, high, we'd hear Madonna or somebody as a witch. I mean, they're completely open about it now. You understand? And they're completely open about killing off Christians or white people and so on and so forth. I mean, you have white movie stars that say they want to kill all the white people. Hey, did you look in the mirror, guy? You're white. You know? But the evil has been, I agree with you. It seems that Satan has came down because the spirit is there and it's out in the open. And reading this book is enough to, it's just enough to make you a person that didn't know these things, but you read it and it just, you know, it just applies to everything. You understand what I'm saying? I'm stumbling here with words. But I know what I mean. Back to you.
Oh, I do. I do. As a matter of fact, that book was released, I think it was March 15th of 2020. Well, you know that it was just days after that, a week after that, when things started going on lockdown. I mean, overnight. And I can remember to my wife, when that started happening, I said, oh, my gosh, baby. I said, my book is about this. I said, you know, it doesn't name COVID-19, and it doesn't even speak of a particular disease that's going to be used to shut the world down, but it speaks of the masquerade. The subtitle is Preparing for the Greatest Con Job in History. Well, what I mean by that is the Antichrist kingdom that is being propped up by fakery and smoke and mirrors and masquerades and charades and, I mean, all of that chicanery. And of course, the Bible says that truth will be thrown to the ground. Even the very elect could be deceived if that were possible. Why? Because Satan is throwing a huge masquerade. He is getting ready to pull a con job on the whole world. And the Bible says the whole world will fall after him and believe it, except for those who are marked by the Holy Spirit of God, because we will not take the mark of the beast. We will not. And the Bible says this calls for patience and endurance on the part of the separated ones.
Yeah, amen. I believe that this is, it's like, not like, it's a trial run to a point, because you look around, you're talking about a deception that brought the whole world down. Well, now looking at things, number one, we can't be sure of any of the numbers, period. You understand? China, you can't be sure of how many people died or there. You can't even be sure of how many people are sick or dying in the United States, because not everybody's been tested and blah, blah, blah. Some people have died and they say, okay, that looked coronavirus, and they died. It could be more. It could be less. What, you can read information about one thing about it, and the next day you can read something that's totally opposite, and I have never seen such one. They both look exactly right. You understand what I'm saying? Said by credible people. It's so much disinformation out there, it's like a bomb was dropped on us of disinformation. The only place to go is to be wrong, is to the Word, and I love your book, because it reveals those things that, you know, how many people do you know, they tell me, well, I read the Bible, but I can't understand it. This brings understanding to know who the characters are. Once you figure out who the characters are, Satan is, who the thrones are, then everything starts making sense. Back to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, thank you. I agree, brother, and thank you for your kind words. You know, brother, that's, we've said before, I'm going to say it again, you know, I'm not a book salesman. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I'm not here to sell a book. But I write these books because that's my heart. That's my preaching and teaching is the result of decades of study heard at an academic level and then preaching it and teaching it at a level that people in the pews. And so passion is to help the church understand what it is they're seeing, what it is they're watching, what it is that's happening in the world. And that's what I want people to see. So I you're right. I think God has enabled it to be that this particular book does help people see the world through the lens of the scriptures. It helps make sense of the scriptures. It helps make sense of the world we're living in and how the two go together. And when people read the book, they say, my gosh, I get it now. I get it. And so, yeah, I mean, that's...
Here's a good example, Carl. Here's a good example. Right now, you know, I keep track of sky phenomena, UFOs, if you will, those kind of things. I look at it. You know, I don't believe in aliens and stuff. I believe that it's interdimensional, demonic, so on and so forth, because there's no way they can turn and do the things that they do and divide physics and everything else. You address that in your book. The point is that that's needed right now, because since about the time of COVID, whatever, the sightings have exploded, and it's incredible. People need to know what that is, because that's another part of the masquerade. It's part of the deception. And you pull the mask off of that. Back to you.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Listen, yeah, I talk a lot about that in the book. Just for your audience to know, in case people are saying, I don't want to hear about UFOs. That's so corny. Well, listen, you don't have to worry. My book's not corny. I'm not a corny person. I'm not running around. That, you know, the little green men can't take us away. I'm saying that that's a part, more than likely, what we're watching, this phenomena. By the way, UFOs have been reported for several thousands of years by prominent military figures, generals on the battlefield over 2,000 years ago reported seeing the words craft in the sky, flying and maneuvering in the sky. Before, I mean, they were still riding horses back then, brother, and there are historical record where these things were recorded. So something has been going on, and I deal with this in the book. Now the United States Navy, and most of your audience probably knows this, they just a few days ago, there was a headline that says Navy finally admits the videos that were taken back in 2000, I forgot what, 6 or 7, I've got it all documented in my book,
yeah,
that they're real. And that they are identified craft that are defying the law of physics, and we do not know anything on the earth that capability, either from our enemies or among our own. So it is something, brother. I make the case truly and scientifically with some really heavy-hitting researchers and scientists and ufologists that this is nothing less than demonic activity. It is a part of the masquerade. It's ramping up because Satan knows his days are short. Makes sense?
Makes a lot of sense. And we that's part of the puzzle that I've always expected. They, how, you know, we know that the demonic things are going to come down with Satan. We just don't know exactly how that is to be. You know, if we look towards Hollywood, we're going to be lost. You understand what I'm saying? But we don't really know how that's going to be. But I do honestly believe that it's part of it. It has to be part of it in the sense that it's a piece of the puzzle that has to happen. And so we are there then. And so your book, yeah, you address it very graciously and great in the book. And you do always give up the back of evidence, as you do by using other experts and other things, just like when you were, I'm sure it relates to your law enforcement background. You make the case, and you give the pros and cons. So, yeah, it's there. It's needed, and it's needed right now. That's my point, Carl, because I'm almost expecting something to land out here and say, hey, we're from another world, and it's going to be those demonic things trying to pull us into some kind of a deception. I don't know what's going to happen. I do know there's a huge increase. Back to you. We've got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, no, I think you've nailed it, and you've summarized some of the stuff. I mean, you're right. My book covers a lot of topics, but they all tie together. They all address this issue of this huge masquerade, this complex web of deception that Satan is weaving together for the last days. And, brother, we are living right now in the middle of a gigantic tangle of that deception. Not that COVID is a deception, not that disease and death is a deception, but the fact that that was all used for the first time in history to bring the nations all together under submission overnight. And we've never seen anything like that before, and it's a foreshadowing of Revelation 13 and 14.
Yeah, and it happened overnight. Wake up, people. It happened overnight. Everything changed instantly, it seemed like. You know, we woke up in a different world.
We're not out of it yet.
No, we're not. And, you know, people aren't, I don't know how fast we're going to recover from this, so to speak. People are off work. I know some people are cushioned with money and it doesn't cost them as much to stay at home. But, you know, I don't know where this is going to go. It's got a ways to go before it's over. So, anyway, final thoughts and then tell them where to find you.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, final thoughts. Listen, I want your audience to know you have nothing to fear, okay? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Boy, that scripture makes so much more sense now, Pastor Dan.
I mean,
fear is from the evil one. The spirit of fear is a demonic presence. It's a demonic infestation. Do not give in to demonic harassment. You keep your head about you. You just keep enjoying life, and you live life ever and to the best we can. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This world is not our home. Let's do our best to represent the coming kingdom to the very best of our ability.
Yeah, very well said. Tell them where they can find you, Carl.
Thank you. CarlGallups.com, CarlGallups, CarlGallups.com. Everything is there, links to my church, links to Masquerade, links to all my books, links to specials you can get, autographed copies, bulk orders, links to videos, television interviews, radio interviews, my radio show. It's all on that one page, CarlGallups.com.
Well, thanks, Carl. I appreciate you being on, and you cover a lot of topics. And for the record, folks, you want to hear more of Carl, go over and listen to him. You do Freedom Fridays. You're still doing that, right?
Yes, sir. I still am.
Right.
It's every single Friday.
Yeah, you keep in the game. All right. I love you, brother. I got to go.
Love you, too. Bye.
Well, folks, that's Pastor Carl Gallup. You should get his new book, Masquerade. It points to a lot of things that are going on. But remember, folks, there is only one true God. He is your father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him and only through him is the way to the Father. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church and pray about supporting radio. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, Father, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Till next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.